Welcome to the Cover 2 podcast. Again, J-Mac, our boy Tim Kelly. Sitting here on a cold, lonely October night.
And the podcast is lonely without Scott Hartman's intro.
It is. For us. Yeah, we need to publicly say that I tried to get that on there, but it did not work out. The MP3 was not able to be copied and pasted, and perhaps this is all mood. Perhaps I can find a way to do that in the next, 12 hours before we try to post it. But
strangely enough, all it is Scott singing Lady in Red.
It's very, very true.
It's a 7-minute long intro. It's his extended version. He puts in his own little riffs in it, but it's quite touching.
Well, it's really beautiful, and eventually, once we're able to do video, he has already recorded a segment of that as well. Yeah. In a red dress.
In interpretive dance, yeah.
Yes, that's a. But what's funny is he did that long before.
Right.
Recording. This used to be a nightly thing.
Yeah, it was a cop. I think it was a high school project. I think
it was. But when y'all lived together back in college, he would do this pretty regularly, right?
Yeah, he would just do it. It would just like on Tuesday, you'd come home and Scott's doing his interpretive Lady in Red dance again.
He also liked to mix in some Christopher Cross, didn't he?
Yeah. It was If You Get Caught Between the Moon and New York City.
Yeah, is that the theme from Arthur?
I believe so, yeah. And he'd dress up like a little top hat and cane and do a little mini tap dance.
And walk on his knees to emulate Dudley Moore's height.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the little martini glass, he was like kind of drunk. And it was fun. Scott's a good dancer. If there's one thing you can say about him, he smells, he's ugly. Yeah, but dang if he can't dance.
That's true.
Yeah.
And eventually we've issued a challenge to him to be able to set up the satellite TV in under 30 seconds. Did not pull that off this past weekend.
No, but that's okay. Well,
he's got time though to work on that. So
I will let him slide.
It's just us here this night, and we're not gonna lie to you. We're gonna be shorter than 46 minutes only because we are under a deadline, and that deadline is the fact that it is 8:27 as we record this. It's a Wednesday, and Lost comes on at 9:00. So the only reason we'll quit rambling is because of our sick TV allegiance to ABC.
They might be rejoicing right now, for all we know.
I think ABC's actually going to make this a commercial.
Wow, really?
Yeah. They're,
it's time we went national.
It's been a long time coming, I think.
We're, the number 3 most downloaded podcast or something on the
something like
close
that.
To it.
Yeah,
if we're not
yeah.
number 3, we should be.
Well, I mean,
on the Georgia Podcast Network.
Yeah, the good folks there have put us up there, and they said that we've done pretty well. So we thank them for hosting us, and we thank all you really bored, lonely people who are downloading our podcast.
That's how we get more listeners by criticizing and making fun of those who do.
But we're bored and lonely now.
Yeah. We're so big, I heard that Circus Peanuts wants to be our sponsor.
Wow.
Yeah. Circus Peanut, brand Circus Peanuts.
Maybe they can work with the State Fair. Was that it?
State Fair Corn Dogs.
State Fair Corn Dogs, yes. That's already an official sponsor.
Right. I think that the State Fair brought Circus Peanut into the fold.
It's a good partnership, I think.
It is. It goes very well with the podcast.
Well, and if you're going to the fair and or listen to our podcast, you want a bag of Circus Peanuts and a frozen corn dog.
Really, you always want Circus Peanuts with you at all times.
That's true. I keep them in my pants.
Do you?
Yeah, it's exciting.
In your pockets in your pants or just in your pants?
I've created pockets at the on the inside of my bottom part of my left pant leg. And I keep them in there so when I cross my legs, I can just reach in. Oh, Circus
that
Peanut.
That's key. I actually have a built-in little pocket on the other side of my pillow.
Oh.
And I'll put my hand up there and then I'll just slide it right into my mouth, like at 3 in the morning.
In one fluid motion.
Yeah.
So you don't have to wake up and
no, yes.
go to the kitchen and get your Circus Peanuts.
No,
you
got Circus right Peanuts all night long.
This is random.
This is the way to start our short podcast. 4.5 minutes.
Of us talking about Circus Peanuts and corn dogs.
Okay, let's on the football.
Well, we got a couple things we'll talk about. We've definitely stored to Florida week, so hopefully folks are going to listen to our podcast over and over again going down to Jacksonville. Tim has in his possession a trivia book, and I do believe, is that a Goldberg quote on the back of that book?
Oh, yeah, we have quotes from Goldberg, Michael Stipe, Michael Adams, Vince Dooley, Suzanne Yocklin, and Herschel Walker touting the greatness of Not the tribute book of just Athens and Georgia in general.
Didn't they get together for like a cover of the We Are the World video?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, Goldberg and Stipe. I think they were actually in We Are the World, aren't they?
I really think so.
Yeah, they sang right next to Bono and Simon Le Bon.
Well, yeah, people don't realize how beautiful of a voice Goldberg has.
It is. It's incredible.
You see a falsetto? Is that an actual musical thing?
That sounds like one.
Okay.
My old music coach, I used to take extensive music / singing lessons. She used to say, I think Goldberg kicks the tar out of Pavarotti.
Okay.
Or
and he didn't mean physically. He meant just the beauty of his voice.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, that's of course. That's right, because that's the singing coach.
So do we have a random question? Because you told me these were a little difficult.
Yeah, this is my favorite one, I think. We've looked through this book a couple times. I was trying to find it earlier, but what is the fiercest athletic rivalry in the Southeast? First of all, this book has no like actual answerable questions. It's mostly just like opinions and things you would never know.
It's got to be a Georgia one, I would imagine.
Well, you would think, but here's the actual answer verbatim from the book: Georgia, Georgia Tech, Alabama, Auburn, and Florida against any neighbor are right up there, but Clemson, South Carolina, tops them all. And helps illustrate why a disunited, quarrelsome South lost the Civil War.
What? So that's the reason.
What an answer.
Wasn't...
In the Georgia Tribute Book.
Wasn't adequate manpower or, you know, the cutting of the Confederacy in half with the fall of Vicksburg.
Yeah, not only does it give you a curveball answer and give you some other options that they could have gone with,
mm-hmm.
but it gives a scathing criticism of popular American history.
I like that. That's I don't have any words to describe that tribute book. The earlier one, the Far Out Opponents, I tried, it was what Far Out Opponents as Georgia played, and I thought I was being clever, and I said the Toledo Rockets, hence space, Far
got
Out.
Got you, Far Out.
No, it was the Augusta Athletic Club.
And about seven others, but that's the first one, yeah. It's pretty incredible.
Now, I'm from Augusta, and the Augusta Athletic Club, they used to be a tough little team. I imagine that used to be one of the fiercest rivalries as well back in, like, 1897.
I imagine. I can only imagine how great they were.
All right. Well, we got Georgia Florida week, so we'll look at some of the Georgia Florida history, and I believe I'm correct on this. This was my little fun stat for the day, that Georgia does not have a senior class that has gone 500 in their 4 years at Florida since, I believe it's got to be 91, because. So that's, we're talking 15 years of senior classes that have either not had a victory or only had one victory over Florida.
Right.
So that's pretty sad.
I guess if they were redshirted in 88.
There's a possibility they had a winning record against Florida.
Well, if they redshirted in 88 and then redshirt freshmen's 89, 90, 91, 92.
They'd be...
Oh, yeah, you're right. Then they'd be two. Yeah, exactly
three,
right.
3-2. Now, did he officially get credit for being redshirt? Because you didn't really... I mean, you were part of the team practicing.
Yeah,
all,
I don't,
but you didn't take the
I don't know
field.
How they would go that. I would say, yes, you are correct. 91. That's pretty ugly.
Now, were you in present for both of the Georgia wins in the past 10 years?
Yes, I was. Actually, the first Georgia-Florida game I ever went to was 1997.
Same here. I should have sworn them off after that.
Yeah, I know.
Now, have you been to all the games since then?
Yep. That's every one. Never missed one.
So, is it perhaps maybe you?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I've won two, right?
That's true. You're like, what, 2-7 maybe?
Something like that. 97. Yeah. I'll do the math real quick and you keep talking.
Well, sure. I went in 97 and we sat in those temporary seats in the end zone. And my defining moment as a Georgia fan is seeing Robert Edwards come down the sideline on, I think, his last touchdown. And just this stark realization hit me that, holy crap, we're actually going to beat Florida.
Yeah.
And at that moment, the guy a couple rows ahead of us unfurled this big G Georgia flag, and if you watch like the video highlights of that game, you see that guy waving the flag, and I'm just a few rows back with my view now completely obstructed by said flag.
Wow.
It was a good time.
Yeah, it was a great time. And yes, I am 2-7.
Oh, ooh, with that pull out of the hat.
Right.
Wow. So you like the 97 win or the 2004 win better?
For me, the 97, because I started in 96 and I went to all the games in 96. And the Auburn game in 96, you know, really helped me along into my fandom. But the 97 Georgia Florida game really just threw me into overdrive, and I've never looked back since. But and that was that. I was pretty special. And then, you know, in recent past, we've been favored so much, and I've always felt that we were the better team going in, and I expected to win, and we never. I mean, well, as much as you can in Jacksonville, recently, and. It's been pretty devastating to lose those games, and so when we won that one, it was sort of like finally instead of.
Well, it was. I watched that on TV, and it was an emotionally draining game. I don't think it took me really about a week to register that. Oh man, they won the game! I can actually be happy.
Yeah.
So.
It was pretty great. It was pretty great after. The second half was a little dicey, because as I remember it, we were up in the first.
Should have had more, but there was a fumble. I think either Ware or Lumpkin fumbled at the goal line.
Yeah.
Or it might have been the fullback. I'm not sure. Somebody.
But we were looking pretty good, and then in the third quarter, it got a little bit tighter than we were hoping for. But still, that was pretty great. But 97 is nothing. There was for me that was one of those top five games.
They were 20-point underdogs and won by 20 points. It was a good time.
That was great. Kirby Smart had like was it two or three picks that game? Two, I guess.
Yeah, I think that helped get him to the interception record. I had a discussion with Scott about actually how overrated Kirby Smart was, which all apologies to him if he somehow is listening to this podcast. I'm sure he's a nice guy, but I was never terribly impressed by him. But I was less impressed by the tandem of Larry Mann and Jeff Harris.
Yeah.
Primarily because I would see them out regularly at the Washington Street Tavern the night before a game, which I knew was blatantly against team rules, but
We used to say with one of my old friends, I think Larry Mann used to try to take down receivers using only harsh language.
Would you please fall down?
Come on!
You're incredibly slow.
I swear to God. So that's, Mann was pretty bad. Smart, I always like him. Because he was in some of my political science classes.
And he was tough. He was a good hit. He was, I think, better suited to be a linebacker, like an outside linebacker. He was pretty tough.
And now he's a running back coach before? And now, where'd he go?
I don't know where he is now. He might, I think he's still on the coaching staff.
Did he really?
Well, why don't we look?
I thought he was running back coach last year, and then he left.
You can see this is a top-notch production we have going on here.
We're not, yeah.
Well, we'll do this, and then I got a little bit of a minor trivia for you that'll lead into, because Tony Ball's the coach now, and he was, I thought, one of the better hires they've had in a long time. But I think they moved Smart. Ooh.
Nope. Gone away now.
That's a shame.
Yeah, he's gone. I thought he went, I don't know, I can't remember.
This just tells you how dedicated we are.
Okay. We're just the average fan. We're not the.
Here's a random thing for you. 97 game. Can you name the reporter for the Banner Herald who wrote the story? I'm going somewhere with this.
Jonathan McGinney.
No.
Josh Kendall.
No, but I think he provided a sidebar that day.
I don't know.
Mark Lancaster.
Oh. I should have known that.
Do you know who I had lunch with today?
Josh.
Well, no.
Mark Lancaster.
Yes, yes.
How about that? Did you get an autograph?
I did. He signed my forehead.
Still there. How could I miss that? I see it right now.
Well, I've been sweating a lot today.
Okay.
He's a beat writer for the Reds now. In fact, the Cincinnati paper they're at, there are three Athenian former Red and Blackers, two of them are former Banner Herald staff members in C. Trent Rosecrans and Josh Katsowitz, who worked at the Red and Black for a long time.
Yes.
So it's a little pipeline up How to about that? Cincinnati. But with the Red season, and Mark is an unabashed Tigers fan, so he is reliving what it was like for me in 2004.
Okay.
With them being in the World Series. But we're hoping, I offered this to him today. He has not listened to a podcast. He said he's going to try to check him out now to try to get him on board and be a special guest. And he's, all authoritative. So he can talk about, the Reds and then what Georgia football was like in the late 90s.
Oh, okay.
So that'd be fun.
The golden era, as I like to call it. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so we've gone over a little Florida-Georgia stuff. What, You got the Florida section open here. What stands out to you about this little... some famous alumni.
Yeah, that's what I'm hugely disappointed in, the fact that Bob Vila is a former Florida alum. Not to mention Faye Dunaway and Buddy Ebsen.
Well, Buddy trumps them all, doesn't he?
Yes. And actually, Todd Barry, the comedian, is also from Georgia, from Florida. And me and my wife saw him do some stand-up in New York, and he took questions from the crowd. And we gave him some hell about being from Florida, and he made fun of us for trying to go all rivalry on him.
Yes. Well.
We were in the wrong venue, I suppose.
In New York. I don't think they know what college football is up there.
He was fine. He was just kidding. But, you know, he's like, oh, don't go all rivalry on me. Apparently his brother went to Georgia.
Ah.
And he's friends with Michael Stipe of REM.
Really? It's a small world, Tim.
Yeah.
Did you challenge him to an arm wrestling contest, best 2 out of 3?
Yeah, I did.
Left-handed, though.
I did.
Yeah.
Left-handed, yeah, exactly. And and strangely enough, he has no left hand.
So you win by default.
That's why I suggested left-handed. I couldn't. He walked right into that one.
he did.
And he actually does have a left hand.
Okay. And last time you checked.
I did, yeah. So, well, maybe I've ripped it off, and now he doesn't.
I was going to go with that. that's exciting about the Gators. Let's see what else we have on our agenda here. As we try to move on really quick, I have some random numbers here, and I haven't. Oh, those are numbers you wrote down.
Yeah, that's me getting ready for Lost. I just like to write down the numbers.
Good.
No, that was the
your stats. Okay.
I was trying to tabulate my record at Georgia, Florida.
All right. Looking across the national college scene, since I do like to toss out random scenarios and random things, we've done the worst coach in the world. What coach do you think deserves to be fired at the end of the season? And you can't say John Bunning since he's already gotten fired.
Oh,
Tar Heels just beat us to the punch.
You know, I guess I'm going to go with Larry Coker. That's pretty obvious, too, I would suppose. I think he's pretty much definitely on his way out. Seems like that program has lost even more control than its usual, you know, wrecked self.
Yeah, I keep waiting for, like, Russell Maryland and Michael Irvin to walk out, but that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty much just, you know, quarters away from them doing illicit drugs in plain view on the sidelines and, you know, just smoking marijuana, and it's just, like, all laid back, and, you know, like, they only put 3 guys out in the field, and Larry Coker just sits there and smiles.
Well, my whole thing is, you know, they're apparently pretty good little street fighters. Why don't we just send them, like, after Al-Qaeda?
Ooh, yeah.
I mean, it'd be good for the country.
Mm-hmm.
And
televise it. It'd be fun to watch.
Yeah.
We could bet on it.
We could.
Al-Qaeda versus Miami's.
Oh, I got Miami.
Yeah.
That Reggie Merriweather kid, I think he's pretty nasty.
Is he the guy that stomped on the guy, or did he use the helmet?
I don't think he used the helmet. I think he was the stomper. He's a defensive captain, too, which, you know, that's leadership for you right there.
Yep.
You know, I'm not going to say Florida State, but there is a concerted push to have Bobby Bowden be forced down to retire.
Yeah, I've heard that. A couple of the boosters have sent letters to the president.
Yeah. It's hard to be able to ask the number one, like the winningest coach of all time to retire, but they really have not been good in the past, like, 5 years.
Yeah.
And they're pretty bad this year.
Yeah, they are. But it'll be interesting to see if that does happen. This and Coker gets fired, then the dire predictions that everyone's had at Georgia for the past couple of years of Rick leaving, the two most attractive jobs for him, I imagine, would be coming available, and this would be a big test. I mean, I don't think he's leaving, but just it'd be good to get this whole thing out of the way and let these two jobs come open and let him turn them down, and then we don't.
So this would be win-win all the way around. Then
I think so.
All right, I like that. He's not going to go anywhere. I mean, he's got enough young talent that he's playing now, then he's got number one junior in the country, regardless of position, has committed already. So hopefully he sticks that out in the next year and a half. But
it would be odd to leave this program that he's reconstructed and made into a sort of, now this year's a little bit down, but, you know, still every year it's really moved along to the point where we're always contending, and to just abandon it now when he's really made it his own would be odd. But I mean, I guess stranger things have happened.
Well, and even this year, as many struggles they're having, you know, if they beat Florida, which, you know, is very difficult to do, but if they have, you know, if the offense plays well and the defense plays what it's capable of, they got a chance.
Mm-hmm.
They're right back into it. Tennessee's in first place, and they got 2 losses to Florida. So
I mean, imagine if we beat Florida and South Carolina beats Tennessee,
it's
and then
crazy.
It's all back to square one, pretty much.
And then because Carolina's in there too.
That's true. Oh yeah, that would be. That's a free for all, right?
That'd be awesome. Let's pull for that to happen this weekend.
That would be nuts.
So for my coach fired, I'm still going to stick with my boy John L. Smith. I don't care if they scored 35 or whatever straight points. I mean, they're horrible.
That was pretty impressive, though.
The sooner he's fired, the less times we're going to have him walking off the sideline shouting, "The coaches are screwing it up!"
Oh, yeah.
Because that was pretty entertaining. So, okay, let's see. We have some Florida statistical leaders, I see.
Yeah, well, I was just looking at other improbable things. 1918, Florida end their season 0-1. Their only loss coming to Camp Johnson.
Hmm. Well, they were tough that year.
In 1918, I imagine that was World War I related issues.
I enjoy this the singular game.
Yeah, it was. And it was, they have the months here, and it was in the month of you. Which can I only assume means unavailable, but it's more fun to think that they made up their own month.
I think you fall somewhere between December and January.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it must be a leap year thing.
Mm-hmm. That was probably at a neutral site, too.
Yeah, that doesn't say, but...
All right. So we have that. I'm trying to think what else we have on tap for you today. We're sort of winging it, as you can tell here.
I think we get on with the picks.
I mean, we can really wrap this thing up early. Only 21 minutes. I hope
we got a lot of picks.
We do have a lot of picks. So we'll dive on into that because Lord knows we'll probably get sidetracked. We'll start in the ACC. We got three. We're all south this week. First one, Tim's second favorite school, Maryland, plays the woeful, struggling Seminoles of Florida State. I got a funny feeling. I know who you're going to pick.
Yeah, I'm going to keep going with the hometown guys. I didn't get to do as much research this week, so I can't really give you too much of the factual backgrounds for a lot of the picks. I know Florida State lost last week.
And they wore black.
Did they?
They wore all black last week. You didn't see that?
Maybe. I don't know.
It was a long weekend.
Yeah.
You were here all last weekend.
Yeah.
That's right.
We should have done a podcast then.
I did not have the necessary equipment with me.
Would have been fun.
That's one way to look at it.
Yeah. That would have been horribly damaging to my reputation, I'm sure. No. I'm gonna go with Maryland. I gotta go hometown loyalty again. And I think there's actually, you know, they've been coming along pretty well. I think they're now 5-2 in the AC, or 5-2 overall. And they're gonna take down a struggling and sinking Florida State ship.
I'm actually gonna agree with you. Maryland's playing pretty good as of late. And Florida State hasn't proven they can, one, stop anybody, and two, that they can score yet. So, and Boston College is a good team, but I still just, I'm going to go for the upset, if it's even an upset. I'm going to go with Maryland in this one.
So. And the reason I said that at the beginning that I didn't do enough research is I couldn't remember who Maryland had beaten last week, but that was NC State.
Yes.
Yeah.
And NC State had been playing better, too.
Yeah, but they kind of gave it away. They had stupid turnovers, and they really couldn't do anything. And then, but Maryland's been winning those games, and I think, you know, I always say the defense has to do a little something to do with that. So, there you go.
I like it. That's good. Saying in the ACC, Georgia Tech came off a thrashing at the hands of Clemson last week. And they're playing Miami. I think this one is. I think they're not going to wear pads. I think it's going to be similar to an Ultimate Fighting Championship.
Really, in the octagon?
Yeah, it is. Who do you like in Tech Miami?
Well, I mean, if Georgia Tech can actually let Calvin Johnson touch the ball, which is incredible. I know it's like, oh, he's covered and whatnot, but
he's 6'5".
Yeah, no touches.
His hands are the size of like Volkswagens. Just throw the ball in his direction; he's going
to
catch it.
Not just hand the ball off to him. Screen pass it, you know? Come on, just get him the ball somehow. So, I mean, if they let him touch the ball more than 5 times, then I think they have a legitimate shot of winning. But I think they got to be pretty devastated right now. And Miami's in complete shambles, too. But you would think that if Miami can beat Georgia Tech here, they can kind of, I guess they still would have a legitimate shot at getting back, you know, they're definitely getting back
that into division?
The
division. Yeah.
Into the division.
God, how horrible is the ACC?
Yeah, it's pretty bad. So, I mean, I don't think Georgia Tech is all that great. And they got to be pretty shaken up after just getting so dismantled. So I'm going to go with Miami.
It's in Tech this year, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to differ with you. I'm going to say Tech comes out because Reggie Ball, even though he is Reggie Ball, and he remembered that he was Reggie Ball last week and thusly had a horrible game against Clemson, I'm gonna say that he's gonna play at that pseudo Reggie Ball level, and beat Miami this week. Partially because Miami beat Duke by what, 5 last week. I don't care if they had a player suspended. That's just terrible.
Yeah, I know.
So
this is going to be that oddball game. Last week I said Alabama was going to come out and beat Tennessee, which they almost did.
You were close.
I know. So this will be my logic would say that you should pick Georgia Tech here, but I'm going to go against logic. And of course the Reggie Ball factor is just too much. I it's hard to pick with him on your team. He's like the worst superhero ever. It's like he's like by day he's really awful, and then he magically turns into somebody who's kind of mediocre.
At least for 2 games out of the year, he plays well enough. I mean, he'll go like 14 of 29 for 200 yards, and he might have an interception or two, but he's going to have some really falling down 3rd and 18 that Johnson is going to haul in and get the first down.
And so in the end, he's like 12 of 25 for 200 yards,
yeah,
a touchdown, 2 picks, and they win the game. And it's like, well, Reggie did enough for us to win. That's what he's like, mediocre man.
I love how he's supposed to be a mobile quarterback, but they never have him run the ball, and he never appears to be that good. You blitz him, and he completely folds.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be sad to see him leave.
I'm really disappointed about it. I really hope that if they recognize the Georgia Tech seniors for some unknown reason at the Georgia game, that we give Reggie Ball an ovation. We should ask him to walk out with the Georgia seniors.
That would be fantastic.
So I'm going to say Tech in that one. The other Tech in the ACC, Virginia Tech playing Clemson. Yeah, I'm going to dive in and say Clemson's going to win this big. They look good.
Yeah. It's is it in Clemson? I'm not sure.
I think it's in Virginia Tech. Okay. I'll look that up. You ramble.
Yeah, Clemson just looked fantastic. And, you know, people are saying it's too early to call Davis and Spiller, the Lendell White and Reggie Bush. And it probably is. But, gosh, they definitely ran through Georgia Tech last week. And Georgia Tech just completely dismantled Virginia Tech. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's in Virginia Tech Thursday night.
Thursday night in Virginia Tech. Right. That's going to keep it closer. And I think the spread's only 4 points.
I'm with you. I mean, CJ Spiller, I didn't realize how absurdly fast he was. I mean, it doesn't make any sense he's that fast.
And he's got a great name.
He does have a great name, Spiller.
CJ Spiller.
But yeah, Clemson's line's good enough. Proctor's a good enough quarterback. Will they have Stuckey back? If they have Chancey Stuckey back, then they're even that much better.
I know he's getting better daily, but I'm not sure if he's going to be ready to come back.
But I think Clemson's going to win that. 2 touchdowns, easy. Of course, I did say before the Auburn game that Florida looked really good and was going to go unbeaten, so you see what happened there. And I think before that, I had picked Auburn to win the whole thing, and you see what happened with them in Arkansas. So it's obvious. I don't have the faintest idea what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So if you're a betting man, I'd bet against Clemson now.
And you did say that Stanford was the greatest team since the 1921 Chicago Bears, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I still think I haven't been proven wrong in that yet.
Well, yeah, that's true. Because for all I don't know how good the 1921 Chicago Bears were, so maybe you were right. Maybe they were like 0-12 and they lost all their games by.
I'm just going to put this out there. If this year's Stanford team played the 1921 Chicago Bears team, this year's Stanford team is going to win.
Really?
I'm put it in writing. I'm just going to say.
That'll happen one day in heaven.
It will.
We'll all sit up there. We'll watch. We'll all tailgate for it. And we're like, finally, our dream.
You know, I think St. Peter makes a really good bourbon and Coke.
Does he really?
Yeah.
He also refs, I heard.
He does.
Yeah.
And he's also an Ultimate Fighter ref.
Is he really?
He's a big guy.
So if St. Peter's reffing, like, is God in the replay booth? Or Jesus? Is Jesus in the replay booth?
I don't know. When I say my prayer tonight, I'll ask.
Okay.
I don't always get an answer, but hopefully before the next podcast, I can get some sort of inclination. Matt Duvall's a pastor. We should just call him and ask him.
Exactly. That. See, this is when we need Matt here for the podcast.
Okay.
Matt Duvall.
We'll track him down and see if he can help us out next time.
All right.
All right, moving on to the SEC. No, we actually are outside for this one. I was reading that wrong. Oklahoma, Missouri.
Right. Missouri. Yeah. Just like, was it Colorado or Colorado or something? You're not supposed to say Colorado. I'm going to go with Missouri on this one. They look like they're still trucking along pretty well.
Yeah, I think they struggled some last week, but Oklahoma's got way too many problems to...
They didn't lose last week, did they? Did they?
This is really sad.
Find out for us out there, people. You know, I thought they won, but maybe
we'll do a whole open thread at one of the blogs, and you can post your information there. I would still, I'm picking Missouri anyway, because Missouri. Sounds wrong. Missouri sounds so much more right. I'll pick them because Oklahoma just has way too many problems. Tennessee, South Carolina. I don't know about that one.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Tennessee in this one. I know Spurrier owns Fulmer and owns Tennessee, but I just don't think South Carolina is all that good. They're going to be pumped up about it. Night game, game day is going to be there, blah, blah, blah. But this could shades of the 2001 South Carolina Florida game where they blacked out and lost by like 44. I think that could happen again.
I don't understand. I mean, I guess it's a slow weekend for college football, but it seems like that they go there a lot.
Yeah, they went there last year or 2 years ago.
Well, they opened up
with our
season last year there.
Yeah, right.
Again. And they had Big and Rich play. Huge.
And in 2004 for our game.
Right.
And then in 2001 for Florida, South Carolina.
And then they were at Mississippi State for Carolina, but that was also the season opener. So.
Yeah. It's Spurrier, man. They love Spurrier.
Apparently. You know, there was an interesting little post on Dog Sports that Kyle did about why doesn't Bobby Johnson get the same credit Steve Spurrier has.
Oh, right.
Because he's got the exact same record against the big three opponents in the SEC East over the past three or four games that Spurrier has.
Huh.
But because it's Vanderbilt and because he's Bobby Johnson and, you know, kind of Steve Martin lookalike, I guess he doesn't get any love. Yeah. So.
Does he play the ukulele?
The
banjo.
I think it's the banjo.
That's what Steve Martin plays, right?
Yeah. Navin Johnson.
Yeah.
Okay, final game. The world's largest, what do we call it?
I saw Every Day Should Be Saturday is calling it the world's largest outdoor Coke orgy.
Yes. that would really not be what Michael Adams is going for, I don't think. I'll let you go first because it's just painful for me to go into this. But
you know,
Do you notice I have an itch in a bizarre spot on my shoulder? Are you watching me just try to?
This is. It's the curse of Georgia Florida, I guess.
It is. I can't.
You're developing the Georgia Florida rash, which has afflicted many a person.
Okay.
But I think that's for other reasons. But
there's got to be a cream out there.
Yeah. Right. I mean, this game doesn't really make any sense to me. This is the 10th year for me that I've been there. Every year I think it's going to happen one way. It doesn't happen that way. 97, I thought we were going to get killed, and we won. I guess the only years that were really followed through was like 98, 99.
Yeah.
That era. But past 3 or 4 years, I thought we'd win, and we only won once. So who knows? This year could be the year where I thought we were going to go in and get smashed. And I think we're fully capable of definitely keeping it close.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we probably need a lucky break. Something happens, bad turnover that we can return. And we've seemed to be opportunistic in that sense. Tony Taylor's return for a touchdown. We have punt returns for touchdowns, those types of things. So I think we're capable of getting one of those. I just think we're going to need one probably, you know, at a key late third quarter point to either get us close to within striking distance of a win or to put us ahead. But I think it could also definitely be over by the second quarter. You know,
that Florida, it could be like 98 game where I did not get even into my seat and it was already 21-0 Florida.
Yeah, it could happen. That could happen. But
there's a very real possibility that'll happen.
I think we're gonna lose, but I'm optimistic that we can keep it close. And I think if we do and we get one lucky break, we can win. That doesn't really say too much. But I guess if I had to make my actual pick, I would say probably something like 24-10.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with you on that one. I mean, I agree that Georgia has the talent. I mean, it's younger, but it isn't like Florida is just overflowing with experience. They got a pretty inexperienced line. I mean, outside of Leak, the problem with Leak is that he's just not built for that system, so he's sort of getting kind of a bad rap in there. Though he has, as Every Day Should Be Saturday pointed out, he played absolutely lousy down the stretch against LSU. They said Tebow's going to get a good, fair number of the snaps, though.
Yeah, more snaps. I've heard a fair number, and they said definitely more than Auburn, but he only played
He only four plays against
Auburn. Yeah, so that's not saying too much. But yeah, I think they said a lot more of Tebow. So.
Which I think is good for both Georgia and Florida. It's good for Florida because he's more suited for that offense. It's good for Georgia because, he's a true freshman who has played considerably less than Matt Stafford.
Yeah.
Georgia can't. I mean, I'm with you. They got to return a kick for a touchdown. They got to get fumbles and turnovers. And then when they get the turnovers, they got to score quick. And they got to get up by a couple touchdowns quick, and then hold on to it. Will I think that happen? I hope so. I don't know if it's going to happen. I'd pick Florida by 2 touchdowns right now as well, which is painful for me. But hey, that's what happens. So those are our picks. This is our incredibly quick show. We're on the gun. Loss is probably running through what happened last week right now. So Tim and I are going to say goodbye. We thank you for joining us again, and we will talk to you post-mortem after the Florida game.
Keep on dancing.